Thank you for coming.
Thank you for coming out. Welcome. My name is Dubs Weinblatt. My pronouns are they, them, theirs. And I am so excited to be here for our 8th season of the Thank You for Coming Out podcast. In 2015, I founded the queer improv show, Thank You for Coming Out, or TIFCO as we call it. And it was one of the longest running queer improv shows in New York City. In 2018, our beloved improv show became the podcast it is today, hosted and produced by Gay City News. It is an honor and privilege to hold space for the coming out and coming into self stories our guests share. And I am so absolutely beside myself with me here today, Dylan Adler. He, him, is a comedian, actor, writer, and musician based in NYC and LA. He was recently a writer on The Late Late Show with James Corden, where he also performed stand-up and was a sports correspondent. He recently performed stand-up on Comedy Central and was named a comic you should and will know by Vulture Magazine. He has also performed in the New York Comedy Festival as a comic to watch. His show with Kelly Bachman, Rape Victims Are Horny Too, was written up by Paste Magazine and ranked number 2 in Paste Magazine's 12 Best Comedy Albums of 2022. He formerly performed as a sketch actor on Mod Night at UCB. He's also the co-composer of the musical Good Morning, New York that played off-Broadway. Woof, Dylan, hello!
Hello, thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here, and yes, I love you and the show so much. I know, the Magnet Theater. Mwah, mwah. Yeah.
Mwah. Yes, thank you. I'm so happy to have you here with me. And I know, like, did we do musical improv together?
I'm not sure musical improv, but I know, like, our paths did cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at Shiz University.
I was just gonna say.
I know. At school, I know. I couldn't. I know our paths were crossing for sure.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. Yeah, I mean, I performed at the Magnet from like 2011 to 2020, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So
I mean, yeah. I loved the Magnet. They were awesome, and I was on a People's Improv Theater musical improv team, but not the Magnet. But the Magnet just had such the best musical improv. You know, it was great.
Yeah, really, really fun times. And I had a bunch of friends who were on musical teams at the Pit. at the Pit
mm-hmm.
was also such a fun space to be in, and
totally,
like, the bar outside the theater was always such a hangout. And
I know, I love that space. It's like a great, and it has like, I love that they're like, there's the underground, there's the above one. It was great.
Yeah, it really was. But we do have an agenda, which is a coming out or coming into self story. So we all have multiple coming out stories and coming into our self stories. And I would love to hear one or a few of those stories that you'd like to share.
100%. So I think the first real coming out experience I had was junior year of high school. Me and my twin brother, we had like the same friend groups. And we were having actually, like, with a group of friends, like a very emotional, vulnerable night. Like, we were kind of all sharing like things we were going through, mental health. Like, a friend shared about like his mental health, and then there was one friend who it was like very, yeah, it was like cathartic. And then a friend shared that she's trans, and we were like so in awe of her bravery. And so driving home, me, I guess, like inspired, I was like telling my twin brother, I was like, honestly, most porn I watch is of guys, to be honest. And he was like, same. And so it's like, okay, so that means we're gay. So
Yeah.
then that like started like our coming out to our family and friends and relatives and everything. But yeah, that was my, I guess, coming out first, you know, like saying it and admitting it to myself, I think. Yeah.
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 Thank you for sharing that. So I'm curious about a couple of things, which is what, like, 'cause I graduated high school in 03 and I was not out in high school, and I can't imagine, like, I've been thinking about it lately too, of like if it were like this climate now or even 10 years ago, would I have come out in 2003? And I think the answer is still no. I think I was scared. So I'm curious, like, how did this conversation get started? How did everyone know that it was safe to be vulnerable and have these like really
Totally.
important conversations?
Totally. Well, my friend group was really like theater kid, weirdo people into anime and all, you know, I don't know. So it already our friend group was kind of like, but we sort of like it just became like a really it felt like group therapy, honestly. Like we just kind of like my friend like shared that he was going like feeling depressed and not motivated to really, and then like my other friend was like kind of sharing like her experiences and feeling like her mental health. And then I don't know, we just kind of like we're really feeling vulnerable with each other. And you know, I went to school in the Bay Area. But the thing is, like, even though it was like the Bay Area, like it was still actually quite a, you know, homophobic, queerphobic, transphobic school. Like a lot of people who came out actually had to move schools because they were like bullied so much. And there was a GSA, and I was a part of it as an ally. Yeah,
Yeah.
you know, like I was like, we have to fight, and they're like, okay, ally.
Yeah.
But like the, you know, the people that led the Gay Straight Alliance, like, were very, I thought, so strong and so brave. So there were out queer people at our school, but it wasn't like a safe space. So they had to like really fight for, you know, like people, they had to be okay with, you know, standing up for themselves. And I was not that person who could do that. So I wasn't out. But I think in my friend group, you know, it's the kind of thing where it's like the sort of weirdo queer kids, we find each other and sort of build that bond. So I think that's what was happening, and that's kind of how that happened. There was like a sort of unspoken like I can share this with these people, you know.
Yeah, that's really special. I not so much high school. Well, I guess yeah, in high school and college I gravitated towards the queer folks, and then we all
Yeah,
eventually came out to each
totally.
other.
I know, that's like such a thing. It's like unspoken, and like even my peripheral friends, like we're like, oh yeah, we were gay as fuck. Like we're like definitely we're like on this, you know. So yeah, it was nice to, there's an unspoken like gravitation towards one another.
Yeah, that's nice. So, okay, so you weren't out in high school, but you publicly, but you
Yeah.
told your brother, so you were out to each other. When did you tell your parents?
I'd say 3 weeks later, my brother was like first, and then I was next. And I think we feel fortunate, you know, our parents are accepting, and so we, yeah, very grateful for that. Like we're out to our family, and to our close friends, you know, like our group of like theater kids. So we were like out to them, but not the school. By and large, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think, like, so this your friend who shared with everyone that she's trans, And it sounds like you all embraced her and were in awe of her. Was she also just like out to just the group of you, or did she also come out to the rest of school once she like what happened there?
No. Yeah, I think it's just because like our school was not that, like it was not like, I wish it was not like a super safe space really to do that. And we wanted to, yeah, we would never like pressure anyone to like do something before. But yeah, it was like, that was like kind of like with me and my brother, like we were just out to our friends and we were like, yeah, just keep this within our group, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that you had each other, that you could talk to each other about these things and just share. 'Cause I know for me, like, not knowing that I was really actually struggling with gender identity, but for sure knew I was struggling with like my sexuality. I didn't talk to anybody about any of it for like 2 decades. And that really eats away at a person. And so
Of
it makes me
course.
so happy that you had this like little safe group that you could
Yeah.
rely on.
100%, like, and even still, even with that community, like before, like when I didn't even talk to my brother about it or admit it to myself or my friends, it was definitely eating away and hard to keep it inside when I kind of knew since like middle schoolish. So for sure that, but it's like, yeah, even like thank goodness for that like little group of people and my brother. Yeah.
So when you did you go to university after high school?
Yes, I did.
So when you went to school, were you like, how did you navigate your identity there? Were you just out when you were there? What was that like?
Yeah, I was just out when I was there, which was so nice. It was like so relieving. It's like you could just start completely fresh and just be out, which is mwah, great. And yeah, I went to school in New York, NYU, and it was already like a very queer spot. So I feel, yeah, grateful in that respect, in that perspective. Yeah.
When were you at NYU?
From 2014 to 2018.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you moved to LA recently.
Yeah, I moved in 2022.
Okay, so not so
So
recently. Kind
yeah, so
of.
but semi, yeah, like 4 years ago. But yeah, I moved here for a job. That job ended, and I've just been kind of chilling here ever since.
Nice. You come back to NYC pretty often?
All the time, because a lot of my like my sisters, my some of my closest friends are here, so I always come back and love to visit.
That's nice.
Yeah.
So you're also Jewish.
Yes.
Do you like practice Judaism? Like, what's your relationship with your Judaism?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, more culturally Jewish, and I grew up like, celebrating Passover, Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, but definitely, I mean, like I didn't have a bar mitzvah. I didn't like have to go to temples, so I mean, yeah. And even like my dad is not, he's not like really religious. He's he's like culturally Jewish as well. So it's like more that.
Yeah. So was there ever like even just culturally any kind of relationship between your Judaism and your queerness, or were they kind of separate?
I actually feel that at least like knowing from like my dad's side of the family, my grandparents, like they were always like kind of like liberal Jews. And even like on my dad's side of the family, yeah, they would like in Hollywood, they would like host like dinners of like actors who were blacklisted and labeled communists and stuff. So I actually feel, at least in recent history, that they kind of were more open-minded as opposed to like they came up in like Christianity or something. I know can be a little more, very homophobic, queerphobic, but at least on that side of my family, they were like always kind of like super Libby.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so your grandparents
Yeah.
lived in Hollywood and had the what do you have any stories of that of like which actors or like
I don't
that's really
know, but like
interesting.
they were like super, like, yeah, they just kind of, they were in LA and they were like, hosting dinners for like people to mobilize when, like a lot of time, like it's kind of reminiscent of the times that are happening now, like the Hollywood blacklist when they were labeled a communist. It's kind of like what the government, like censorship, and they were like very against that. They're like, fuck no, don't censor what we have to say. This, so, yeah, I don't have stories of specifics, but I know from my dad that's what he said that they were kind of up to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's really neat. I love here. I wish that I would have had the like foresight or however you say it when my grandparents were still alive to like ask some questions about
I
stuff, you know?
know. I'm so curious. That's why with my grandparents now, I'm like, I am asking more questions because I'm very curious about intergenerational stuff. I truly believe in things being passed on. So I am like asking, trying to ask all I can with the grandparents that are still alive.
That's so nice. I just started actually video recording my parents and just like asking them questions. Just to have, and which I think is so special. I hope, I don't know, just to have that, have their memories and how they remember their, like how they met and the first concert they went to
Yeah.
together and all that good stuff.
I love that. Yeah, I love that.
There should be more of this.
I know, I agree. I agree. Like talking because like my parents aren't one to be like, well, this is what we immigrated, blah blah blah. I have to like sometimes pry it out of them 'cause I'm interested in that shit.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think it also
Yeah.
helps explain at least a little bit like where we came from and why we are who we are.
Oh, 100%. And why maybe we have some of why I'm like, why am I so crazy?
Yeah.
Why am I so neurotic? I don't know. Explain this IBS. So, I don't know. I don't know. I like to learn those things too.
Yeah, and why am I so anxious and what's the deal?
For sure.
Those epigenetics run deep.
Epigenetics, bitch, that's what I'm talking about. Literally, I did like ayahuasca. No, it's called Bufo, which is like DMT, and I like felt like I did. I felt like I actually woke up in like a Ukrainian village one time in 1800s, and I felt like also a deep connection to my Grammy, my mom, my dad's mom, and like her kind of like things she's experienced and So, I don't know. I fully believe in that. I fully
Oh my
believe in
God,
that.
me too. Wait, I'm so interested. So, is ayahuasca different than the medicine you just said you took, or is it kind of the same thing?
It's like I describe it as ayahuasca, but it's even stronger and it only lasts 1 hour. So when you take it for about 10 minutes, your ego completely dies. And that's what happened. Like my ego completely just, I was unconscious. But in a different plane of existence, pretty much for like 10 minutes. And the ego comes back, and that's when you get like images, and that's where it sometimes gets painful. Like I was like crying and laughing, crying, la like doing like switching between those two for like a solid, I don't know. It was really intense. It's no joke, but I really felt like intergenerational trauma and also strength and images that came up, which were very powerful and definitely have, and it stayed with me and make me believe in intergenerational lineage and yeah.
What else did you take away from that experience?
Ooh, It was so indescribable, and honestly, it gave me affirmation of me feeling I'm on the right path for my life and for healing. And I to get really into it, I was kind of healing from sexual trauma and trauma I was feeling in my body, and I was honestly feeling as though I was like, I'm never. I had this thing of like, maybe I'll just never be in a relationship or experience like romantic love like that, or sexual pleasure, and that's okay. And I got a message from, I felt like my ancestors or even my grandma, that it's like, no, you will experience that. You'll experience love in that. And then, like kind of 6 months later, I did. And so I don't know. I just felt like there were some affirmations and messages and sort of like things that it's like, oh, I carry this, and this is inside of me, and this was inside of maybe them years ago, whether it be like trauma or strength or whatever, resilience. Yeah, that was kind of what I took away from the experience.
That's really beautiful. I have a friend who like does acid pretty regularly, and I have other who like has really wanted me to try it because it like helps I don't know bring things to the surface and like heal things like you're talking about. And I have friends who've done ayahuasca, and I know like pre coming out as trans, I like refused to do any of those kinds of drugs because I knew that transness would come to the surface and wasn't ready for it. And yeah, so now I'm like, should I do it now? I still haven't done either of those things, but I'm like, I'm ready. Like I don't know what else is in there. I'm sure there's other stuff, but like the big one, I'm not scared.
I love that. I love that. That's beautiful. And of course, it's like when you take something like that, you're like, my truth is going to come to the surface and I'm not ready for that. It's like that
Yeah.
sketch where it's like, do not hypnotize me because I will come out as bisexual in front of my whole high school class where there is a hypnotist. It was like a funny sketch. And so, yeah, that's 100% true. So, I mean, I took it because I felt compelled to do it. My friend told me about it. I'm like, there's something within me that feels like very drawn to do this. And I'm glad I did. I
Yeah.
haven't really since, but if I do in the future, I think I will. But yeah. Yeah.
Are you and your brother close?
We call each other every day. We're like besties.
Aw. Do you have the like twin connection where you like know what each other's feeling, thinking? Like if he stubs his toe, you scream.
Oh my God, no, but I say I do have that connection because whenever he experiences the slightest inconvenience, he'll text me and call me.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm having this sixth sense that he's annoyed or gotta, hit his elbow because he's texting me about it.
You're right.
But yeah.
The
We're very
videos that you put
close.
out together are so funny. How did you decide
Thank you.
to start doing those like together?
So that's like a video that I was doing by myself, where it's kind of like it was just like someone would pass me a football. They'd be like, "You pass it back." I'm like, "It's not that simple. I'm gay. I can't pass it back so easily,
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like I was back at home, with my brother. And I was like, what if we like did this in sync? Like, is that crazy? And so we tried it once. We're like, we can't tell you where the gas station is, my guy. And so it like kind of like I it took off from there. So then from there on, it was like, all right, I guess we'll do these videos together. Yeah,
They're
but
so silly.
thank you. Yeah, there's stupid, silly fun, and it's like whenever we're home for vacation, we'll torture our parents and be like, "All right, can we film one of these, please?" And my mom's like, "Oh, I have to cook a chicken, but fine."
So are they your videographers, your parents?
Yeah, my mom and dad.
Gorgeous. Where does your brother
Yeah.
live?
He lives in Tucson, Arizona. He plays oboe for the Tucson Symphony Orchestra there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. The funny, we actually got our first real jobs like when I moved to LA to write for James Corden 2022, and we got those jobs like within a week of each other. And he, you know, booked the Tucson Symphony Orchestra when it's like before he was like he was like teaching, and I was like tweeting for Asia Netflix and like, you know, walking dogs and stuff. Yeah.
That's cool. You're so in sync in that way.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the show Rape Victims Are Horny Too, because you brought
Yeah.
up sexual assault earlier and you wrote a show about it. And so what I'm just unfortunately I didn't get to see the show, but I'm curious how you infused humor into something that is generally not funny.
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah.
That was a show when, so my friend Kelly Bachman is someone who I'd been seeing like at open mics and stuff, and she like had jokes about like, you know, healing from her trauma that I really loved, and she would see mine. And then like she had that viral moment when she called out Harvey Weinstein at the show. And she had me on her show called Rape Jokes by Survivors. And to be part of that show was like, it felt so healing, and it was like really cathartic, and like we really bonded. And so then we like, I did her podcast, and we like kind of like were like, what if we like wrote a, because she also loves musical comedy too. It's like, what if we like wrote a song together about like, you know, like our experiences. And we wrote a song called Tell Me I'm Hot But Don't Fucking Touch Me, and it just felt like so cathartic. And that, because like we in like w in like there's something to be said about like talking to a therapist, very helpful, but to talk to someone who's like who understands, it's like the exact emotions of, you know, feeling like, oh, you know, because we talked about feeling oh my God, I'm struggling with finding my words right now. But feeling imposter syndrome, or feeling like I was like feeling like when I was telling people what happened, like the experience was getting belittled and not believed, and that like added on to like the trauma. And we were just kind of like really connecting about that, and about like the confusing feelings of like still feeling, you know, what it's like to feel still like horniness and attraction, but also have fear because of, you know, trauma, and like how that, you know, the confusingness of that. So we just like really, it was so cathartic to write. And we're like, what if we wrote an hour of this? And and we're like, okay, fuck it, let's do it. And we just like, in writing it with her, it was one of the most fun, cathartic experience, because like whenever I felt like I would go into that, you know, dark place, like I felt like it was just like, I just wanted to shake it out of my brain. It was like, this is a stain in my life, and I don't want to. But to go there and to pull out like something that could make me or her or other people laugh, and to like find community with them, that was so cathartic and healing. And it was actually a moment in my life where I remember I was like finishing writing with her, and I was like, oh my God, this is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I don't even know where this is gonna go. It might not go anywhere, but this is exactly where I want to be in my life doing this, you know. So to be able to like record it with her, do it with her, is so cathartic. And like, she's still one of my dearest friends, and you know, we're here for each other whenever we, you know, feel some type of way or need to talk to each other. But yeah, no, it was like such a, so I'm like talking out my ass right now, sorry, but
No,
it
you're
was like
it's
such
great.
a, so cathartic to be part of. And I was honestly a little scared to do it, because I felt like I was, when I was doing the show, I was like, oh no, everyone's gonna think I'm co-opting this thing that actually happens to women, and it's like, oh no, I felt like the imposter syndrome again, but I felt very supported by her and by people and believed, and like everyone deserves to feel that. And I would even have like queers, gays come up to me like, oh my God, yeah, 100%. This is so, and it's like so common in the gay and queer community. So I, yeah, it was very, it was a very cathartic experience.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It also sounds like affirming of like, kind of taking you away from the imposter syndrome and having people approach you and saying like, without being, like, me too.
100%. Yes, exactly. Where it's like, yeah, because it is so common in the gay community, like, and in the queer community. And it's like, I love that in the gay community, it's very like sexually liberated, free, but there is like definitely like a problem with like consent and like assault and like, like kind of, so that's like a huge, I think like it's a big thing that a lot of queers have experienced. So it felt affirming to feel it's like, oh my gosh, I experienced that as well. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it's reminding me of when we used to do the live show of Thank You for Coming Out, where folks, the storytellers would, some of them would say, like, my story is not funny. It's like kind of, it was kind of traumatic. And we're, understandably kind of worried about telling a story and then having a group of comedians like make a musical out of it. And I
Of
always,
course, yeah.
and I'm like, I promise you, because everyone is queer on stage, we know how to take care of each other. And we know how to pull out,
Yeah.
it's like we know how to pull out the funny detail that you're not even thinking of. And I promise you, like, you're going to be taken care of. And it happened every 100% of the time, even if it was like a really sad, traumatic story, the improvisers were able to find the like the funny. And I heard from storytellers like how healing it was to kind of like see their story, not verbatim, like repeated back to them, but just like reimagined. And it's just shows like the beauty and the power of art.
That's why I love comedy so fucking much. It turns things that, like, previous shame, pain, even current pain, like, into something that is, it takes the power out of it. It's levity. It's transforming it for yourself and taking the, fear or whatever back. And that's why I love it so much. And like people who even like, turning something they're going through in the moment, like it might, like me and Kelly were kind of singing about shit we hadn't processed, to be honest, that we were still kind of like going through. And it was like, I don't know, I love it. I love to see that. I love to see artists or comics like, yeah, talk about it, go for it, please. I love that. I love
Yeah.
that shit.
And it's like, I know it's a cliche, but it's like the more specific you are, the more universal it is. And it's like
Of course.
we're all so connected, and I think we forget that sometimes.
Of course. Yeah, true.
So can we, how do we, can we listen to this album somewhere?
Yes, it's on Apple Music, Spotify, wherever you get, your music, you can listen to the full album. Yeah, it's out there. It's called Rape Victims Are Horny Too. It's alive. Like comedy album. So, yeah.
Yeah, we everyone listen to the album.
Yes.
So I'm gonna bring us back quickly to like middle school, high school years. And I wonder, are you familiar with the Ring of Keys moment from Fun Home?
I love that moment. Yeah, of
Yeah.
course.
Okay. So for those of you listening who don't know, the Ring of Keys is essentially like a moment of knowing and understanding, like seeing yourself in somebody else, and giving yourself permission to kind of be. And so I'm wondering if you have a Ring of Keys moment outside of gay porn, maybe inside of gay porn. I listen. Whatever your
Corsage
moment
shot of
was.
that asshole.
Listen, whatever
It's
floats
so the lesbian
your
version is being like a lesbian in an ice cream shop. The gay version is like, when I saw that asshole on Gay Male 2. It's like, no, I don't know. I mean, handsome. No,
Oh, so good.
honestly, that is one of my favorite theater songs ever. It makes me really, it gives me the chills. It's so pretty. That's my favorite
Yeah.
part. It's like, I'm the only one who sees you're beautiful. Yeah.
No, I mean,
No.
handsome.
Handsome.
Yeah. Oh,
Oh my
it's so
God, so
good.
cute.
Yeah.
If I had a moment like that, I think, I think I did. I think it was watching Margaret Cho when I was in middle school, and I don't know, she in middle school and high school, when I was like getting bullied and shit, and like, I would like listen to her albums, and it would always make me feel better. And she was talking about like being a fag hag since day one. And she is so funny. Her commitment to her characters, her impressions, her mom, like, I always loved it so much. And I felt like when I watched it, I wasn't necessarily like, I want to do that. But I was like, this is the world I want to be in. These are the people I want to hang around, like this kind of person. I love the way she talked. I love the way that she was on stage. So I think like that, yeah, that to me, seeing Margaret Cho's comedy.
I love that. And correct me if I'm wrong, which is it happens from time to time. You're now in the same circle. And like
Yes,
you like post
yes.
pictures together and
I know.
how does
I'll
that
still.
tell me everything?
I know it's something I'll like never be over. Like, I just love her so much, and she is like so good to like younger queer Asian comedians too. Like, she has like such a great she's very I think like quite selfless in her with her like the energy that she kind of gives. And she it was like so surreal when I first met her. She like knew who I was and was so kind, and I was just like, I couldn't believe him. Like, I've watched you since I was young. I love you so much, bitch. Like, and so to like, I still feel like I can't really be super normal around her. Like, I've seen her, like, we've like hung out a couple of times, done shows, and I'm like still so in awe. But she's such a hero to me, and so many people, so many queers, so many Asians. She's like such a trailblazer. So, she's someone who I'm like, I want to make like the way that she behave, like the way that she's so fostering to the community and makes other people feel, and me myself included. I'm like, oh man, I want to be like that, like that.
Yeah, ugh, that's so nice. And I know sometimes people say like don't meet your heroes, but I have met like luck like in some w world, I don't know how, I've met a nice chunk of my heroes and
Yeah.
they're all great. It's like I think we've picked good heroes.
Yes, yes we have. Yes we have. I agree. I agree. I but like even her, like she like blew me out of the water with how kind and awesome she is. And she truly is like my favorite comic of all time. Like, I have so many of her jokes like memorized and stuff. So yeah, she is. I feel like as queer Asians, like comedians, I'm like, oh, we are so lucky to have her as our mother, as our comedy mother. We're so grateful. Yeah.
I love that. That's so
Yeah.
special. I have one more official question and then we'll move to the lightning round. But especially in like this particular moment in our culture and in time, it's like particularly hard for queer people and people of color. And you brought up resilience a few times, and I'm just curious, like in this moment, where are you tapping into resilience, and how are you getting th how are you doing it? Well, how are you doing it? Where's how, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's such a horrible scare. This administration is so horrible to the queer community, to the trans community, to marginalized people. It's like so horrifying. And what gives me and what inspires me is my community, is the queer community, is my friends, are like people that are making art and kind of like, you know, and being joyful in the face of it. And that to me is, it's so inspiring and makes me feel inspired and like gives me strength too, you know, like seeing like friends of mine who I admire, who I love, hit the road and be fucking, you know, hilarious and fucking speak truth to power. And, you know, it that to me, you know, gives me strength and hope. And also, you know, being able to like organize with friends, protest and do all that stuff is, you know, doing, you know, stuff that's in our power is gives me like, you know, fills up my cup.
Yeah, oh, I love that. Like I teach this and I can't remember what it's called, but it's like your sphere of influence. It's like, where can you actually have an impact, and like focusing on that. That's really, really special and important. And yeah, community is everything.
Yeah,
So
1,000%.
it's nice that you have one in LA and NYC and
Yeah.
Arizona, and
Yeah.
I'm sure other places as well.
Yes, no, I feel very lucky about that.
That's nice. Okay, I hate to do this, but I must bring us into our lightning round of questions, which generally are supposed to be either or questions to make them quick. I was told they were too binary, so most of them are open-ended, so it might be slightly more challenging to answer, but it's all for fun.
Okay, great.
Okay. Where's your favorite place to think?
Ooh, in the shower.
We've already
Yeah.
kind of talked about this one, but it's okay. An influential queer person in your life.
Well, obviously Margaret Cho comes to my brain, but I'll think of another one. Raven Simone was huge for me and my brother. We
Wow.
love her. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What is a song that you can listen to and repeat forever?
Dreams by the Cranberries.
Wow,
I
nice.
love that song so much.
What's one thing you want to be known for?
I would, you know what? Rape victims are horny too. It's something I'm really proud of. And for people that feel like they want to, yeah, something like, if you know, that's a project that I'm very, very proud of, and I'm so happy I did it with my really close friend.
Yeah. Oh, that's so special. We definitely, everybody, go check it out. Okay. Think of a concert that you would love to go to. What would it be?
Oh, well, Beyonce's next concert, because Renaissance was the best concert I've ever seen in my whole life.
Amazing. Okay. So now, which song would you save to go to the bathroom during?
At Beyonce's concert?
Yep.
Oh my God, I can't even pick. Oh God, the interludes. You have to wait till the interludes, but do I have to pick a song?
We can accept interlude.
Interludes where it's like, you know, they're changing and she's off the stage. I actually did have to, like, I took the quickest piss of my whole life when I
Yeah.
was in that
I
era.
think that's a smart loophole. yeah,
I don't want the beehive coming for me. Oh.
I've had some people say for Taylor Swift, they would wear a diaper. And I'm like, that's not an answer to my question, but
That's not an answer to my question.
okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you find joy?
Oh, I find joy writing comedy material. I love doing it. I love stand up. That is like where I find a lot of joy for sure.
And you're so good at it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, last question, the only binary of them all, and it's the most important question. Bagels or donuts?
Oh, donuts. I
Interesting.
love both of them, don't get me wrong, but I was just in Portland where they have really amazing donuts. The best
Yeah.
place is called Delicious Donuts. It's owned by this amazing Asian family. So I am donut pilled right now.
Okay.
Donuts. Yeah.
I generally think the correct answer is bagels. However,
Okay.
I totally get it and think
Yeah.
it's great.
I mean, bagels are iconic. I love Russ and Daughters. Come on.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah.
Dylan, this was so lovely. Thank you so much for joining me and thank you for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Thank you for coming in.